Good evening, everyone. So this evening we're looking at God's guidance. And the question for this evening is, have I missed God's best? So there we go. That's the question. Let's have a look at the readings. So we've got a few more Proverbs for you this evening, continuing in our series on the Proverbs. First one is Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. And we've got Proverbs 12, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are just, the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisers, they succeed. Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 4. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Spirit, from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. 16 verse 9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And 16 verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we're talking about God's guidance, which is basically how God leads us. And the question here, I suppose, is, are you and I actually going the way that God wants us to go? And you know, you might have that comforting sense that you're in God's hands, that you've placed your trust in him, and that he is leading you. Or it may be obvious to you in your heart of hearts that actually you're not going where God wants you to go at all. In fact, you're running away. Now, if that's you today, then it's not too late to change course. Change course today and place yourself in his hands. But you know, that's kind of two quite clear-cut answers to the question. But I think for many of us, this can be quite a confusing question. Because, well, how do we know whether we're actually going the way that God wants us to? We might not have a particular sense either way. You know, God doesn't always make it totally obvious what he's called us to do. And actually, sometimes that's for our good because, well, he gave us brains and the ability to think so that we might use them. He expects us to glorify him by making our own decisions, by using the wisdom that he's given us. Yes, God sometimes does clearly give guidance to us, and it would be a very bad idea to ignore it when he does. But most of the time, he expects us to think and to act according to the things he's taught us. He expects us to apply the principles that he's revealed to us in Scripture. He's given us the power to make wise decisions, you know, especially if we've placed our trust in him and his life is in us. You know, the Holy Spirit is at work living in us. But it can be difficult for us to dispel the confusion about whether or not we're actually going God's way. You know, it's possible to start doubting the decisions we make. It's possible to start thinking, well, you know, we've messed up big time. We've taken a wrong turn, even when maybe we haven't. It's also possible to think that all is okay, when in reality it's anything but. And in fact, I'd say that if life is too straightforward or easy, if everything seems like it's sort of going quite nicely, it probably means that you're not going down God's path, because walking with God is taking up your cross and following Jesus. It's hard, and it will require suffering and pain in one form or another. That's not comfortable, but that does result in blessing as well. Now, I don't know how many of you have read The Lord of the Rings or watched The Lord of the Rings films, but if you have, I would imagine you'll probably know the basic storyline, which is Gandalf sends the hobbit Frodo Baggins on a mission, which becomes a mission to destroy the evil One Ring and save Middle Earth. Sometimes Gandalf clearly walks with Frodo, helping and directing him and his party of hobbits and others, and at other times he at least seems to be elsewhere. And at those times, Frodo and the others start to doubt that they're on the right track, that they're really doing the right thing, or even that they have the strength to do the right thing. And that evil power of the One Ring tries to convince them that their mission is hopeless. But they keep going despite that. And then Gandalf appears from time to time, and it turns out that what they were doing was in fact right all along. They were following the plan, even though they didn't themselves know it. And you know, I think actually, I don't know, it's my experience anyway, that sort of walking with God and following his guidance can sometimes feel a bit like that. So as we think about God's guidance, we think about the question, how do we avoid missing God's best for us? Well, I think that today's Proverbs give us a few ideas, a bit of guidance when we feel like Frodo Baggins left behind by Gandalf. These are general principles for us to apply that help us to walk God's way and not get distracted by other things or by doubt. We're not talking here about, you know, obviously if you get clear instruction from the Lord about something, then it's worth listening to it. But we're talking here about kind of basic principles that if you ask God for help to live by, then you probably won't go far wrong. So we've got 3 points. First of all, live with integrity. Second, listen to good counsel. And third, know your limitations. You know, be open to that voice of God that he might instruct you directly. But also know that God is in final control of each of our lives and knows what he's doing even when he seems to be leaving us to get on with stuff. So I'll repeat those 3 things. First of all, live with integrity. Second, listen to good counsel. And third, know your limitations, that God is in final control of all of our lives and knows what he's doing, even when it seems like he's left us to get on with things. So, first one, live with integrity. And we could turn to today's first proverb for this one. Proverbs 11, verse 3, contrasts the integrity of the upright with the crookedness of the treacherous. It says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So, okay, what's integrity and what's crookedness? What does that mean? Well, I think when we say that someone has integrity, we usually mean that they're honest and that they have strong moral principles. Or perhaps we might mean that someone is kind of whole, that they're not in conflict with themselves. You know, that's about not being double-minded. A person who has integrity doesn't have conflicting desires. You know the kind of thing where you start thinking, well, should I serve God or should I serve myself, actually? Or even, should I serve God or should I serve money? That kind of conflict doesn't exist in the mind of someone who has integrity. That person serves God because only God provides peace and integrity. And because there's no conflict in that person's heart, there's also honesty. So I guess we've got to ask ourselves, where do you and I measure up with that? Do we have integrity? Or are we double-minded and tossed to and fro by conflicting desires and the winds of life? You see, the person who has integrity has an anchor. They aren't tossed around in the storms of life. And that's because they're guided by their integrity, which is given to them by God. So another question that comes from that. You know, what happens if we feel like we're being tossed around in the storms of life? Are we able to somehow get out of that position and get to a position of integrity? Are we somehow able to drop the anchor? Well, you see, the problem here is that we're all double-minded and we all work with mixed motives. You know, in ourselves, none of us have integrity. You know, I see it in myself. I get distracted from the things that the Lord is calling me to do. And however honest I try to be, there are times when I fail to be honest even with myself and I fail to be honest with God. And that's a problem that I can't easily resolve because I'm a sinner who's fallen away from God. I like hiding from myself. And I suspect that probably quite a lot of us are similar there. And the answer to that can only lie with God. Only God can provide true integrity. As the Holy Spirit works in each of us, as the life of God is imparted to us, that makes us whole. So, we've got to trust the gospel here. We've got to trust that Jesus has made it possible for us to have that relationship with God where we can get integrity. Let's pray that God the Father would send the Holy Spirit on each of us so that we can experience true integrity, because only then can our double-mindedness be dealt with and we can be made whole. Only once we're in that place of wholeness can we be truly honest. Honest when we approach God, honest when we approach ourselves, and honest when we approach others. Because being like that's a gift that only God can give us. So we just need to ask for that gift, because our Father in heaven wants to give it to us. Being whole and honest is much better than being crooked. might come with challenges from time to time, obviously, but it's much, much better and brings much more blessing than being double-minded and crooked. Before we move on from that, let's just stop for a minute to think about what the crooked person looks like, so we know what to avoid, how not to behave, as Frodo when Gandalf's not there. You know, I suspect we, all of us, to some extent, have a problem here. But this person who's crooked, they aren't straightforward. What they actually want and what they actually are is very different to what they say and what they try to put themselves across as. They engage in flattery, but they're driven by a love of themselves, actually, not love of God or love of others. And that makes them treacherous, which isn't good. And the thing is that the crooked person is not whole. The crooked person finds him or herself enslaved by crooked desires, desires that can never really deliver what they appear to promise. And the thing is, if you just serve yourself and forget about God, in the long run, you'll find that you don't really know what or who you're serving because you lose track of who you really are. So, I mean, the Lord of the Rings analogy here would be something, someone like the protector of Gondor or Saruman in the Lord, you know, those figures that kind of get lost in themselves and end up becoming, under the power of the Dark Lord, the creator of the evil One Ring. You see, we can only really understand who we are when we turn to the Lord. It's only when we know him, when we realize that fact that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. It's only when we place our trust in Jesus that we find that God starts to restore our identity, our understanding of who we truly are. And he does that by sending the Holy Spirit to work within us. When he does that, he restores his own image in us. He restores us to be the people that he created us to be. He makes us whole, exclusively on his own terms. But the crooked, self-serving person ultimately fails to understand who they really are, which is tragic. And also fails to understand how to serve themselves even, not let alone others. So I have a question for us. Do you really understand who you are? Do you understand that God created you, that he loved you into existence with an identity that he's given to you and only to you? And even though you've messed up and not followed God's rules, he sent his son to die for you. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, the penalty has been paid for your sin, for the ways that you tried to ignore God and run away from his guidance. Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for all that stuff and made it possible for you to leave it behind. And God has adopted you as his child. Do you understand that he's now your father in heaven and your identity is as his child? Do you understand that you could go to him with your requests directly? You don't need an intermediary. Do you trust him that he will lead you? Because if you don't, you know, all of that stuff is there for you. You just need to turn to him and ask for help. Because the crooked person is the one who doesn't understand and doesn't do any of those things, that means the crooked person is double-minded because they don't know God as a father. Now, if you're struggling here, and I think we all struggle with this from time to time, if you struggle with double-mindedness, if you don't know God as father, then I challenge you to ask him today into your life or remind yourself the fact that he is your father. Because if you do, he'll send the Holy Spirit upon you and give you strength to live with integrity, to experience wholeness, and to understand who you truly are and who God called you to be. So the second point is, listen to good counsel. And in today's collection of Proverbs, we have three proverbs about listening to advice. The first of those warns us not to listen to the counsel of the wicked. Proverbs 12 verse 5 says, "The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful." There's another kind of stark contrast here. The thoughts of the righteous are contrasted with the counsels of the wicked. And the writer of this proverb is trying to tell us, I think, that it's worth knowing the thoughts of the righteous because they are just thoughts. It's worth paying attention to those thoughts and listening to them and perhaps even acting on them. But it's necessary to ignore the counsels of the wicked because they are deceitful. When you don't have integrity and don't know who you are, you're at risk from the counsel of the wicked. You know, as Saruman and the Lord Protector of Gondor found out. Anyway, enough Lord of the Rings. The challenge for us here is to determine who is righteous and who is wicked so that we know who to listen to. And while in some cases that can be fairly clear, Unfortunately, it's actually a pretty messy thing to decide for us quite a lot of the time. You know, that phrase, the counsels of the wicked, it makes me think of Screwtape in C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, if you know that. You know, the senior demon who tries to write advice to a junior demon about how best to tempt human beings. You know, it's one of those books that's a bit funny, but it's got a serious message in it. Now, sometimes we do have thoughts that come into our heads that may sound like perfectly reasonable things, but they're absolutely not coming from a place of wishing to serve God. You know, Screwtape's an expert at planning those kinds of thoughts and planting them into the minds of humans. And I suppose even the biggest things that, often the biggest things that tempt us, well, what are they? Well, things like comfort, running away from difficulties, stability, maybe power, maybe relationships. You know, think about when Peter tried to persuade Jesus that he didn't need to die. "Get behind me, Satan," was the reply. Also think about how Satan tried to tempt Jesus in the desert. He tried to offer him bread, which I suppose represents kind of reliable sustenance and stability, an alternative to the life of God. He also tried to offer him power and tempted him to do a showy miracle in order to impress everyone. And you know what? We could be tempted in quite similar ways. You know, Jesus doesn't give in because he knows he must walk the path that his Father in heaven has laid down for him. You know, the way to the cross, the Via Dolorosa. But we, as human sinners, are far more likely to get confused and give in when we meet with those kinds of temptations. I suppose, once again, the only way of withstanding that is if the Spirit of God is at work in us, directing us, speaking with us, speaking words of encouragement and hope into our lives. Words that deal with those temptations. You know, Jesus dealt with those temptations by quoting scripture at the devil. And you know, if we know scripture, if we know what God wants to say to us, we can deal with those things as well. Now, temptations are things that sound appealing but ultimately lead to nowhere. But God's call is the opposite. It might sound scary, but ultimately brings us to a place of hope. So let's learn to listen to the Holy Spirit that he sent upon us and follow his call right through to that place of hope. So we need to learn this one because we're going to face constant temptations to turn from God's path. Even well-meaning people might say things that tempt us to leave God's path, a bit like Peter speaking to Jesus. You know, the advice that he gives you won't need to die. It sounds great, sounds right, but it comes from the wrong motivations. You know, then there's advice that doesn't seem evil or tempting, but maybe even simply foolish. But by sending his Spirit on us, you know, God gives us his wisdom, so we shouldn't be acting foolishly. Then there's the harsh and cutting things that people sometimes say that could kind of be, it kind of could be advice possibly, but it's like really a kind of attempt to take you down. And it's very easy to let those kinds of things that people say go round and round in your head over and over again. But we shouldn't listen to any of that stuff. That could be wicked advice or counsel. Let the voice of the Spirit in you drown out all of those other voices. Because if you don't, all that nonsense going round and round in your head will hinder your ability to listen to sound advice. It'll gradually take over and hinder your ability to listen to God's call, to his guidance, that he speaks into your life through his Spirit. Be discerning. Don't let any words take your peace away from you and distract you from the fact that God has adopted you as his child and placed a special calling on your life. Whether that advice is well-meaning, obviously foolish, or harsh words designed to cut you down. We all listen to the wrong advice from time to time. We all listen to those words from time to time, but let's pray that God would help us listen to him. But once we stop listening to bad stuff from people who are trying to take us down, or foolish stuff, or whatever else, or people who simply don't understand where God's calling us to be and what he's calling us to do, once we stop listening to all that stuff, we need to start listening to good advice. And here we could turn to Proverbs 12:15, which says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." And also Proverbs 15:22, which says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisers, they succeed." You see, the fool is someone who does what they think right and fails to take advice first. This is the person who just jumps right in with both feet without really understanding what he's getting into. I mean, that's a bad idea. It's probably not as bad as taking advice from the wicked, but it still isn't great. But what these proverbs do tell us is to take advice and plenty of it. You know, if you're trying to make a big decision in your life, yeah, pray about it. But also surround yourself with people who know about what you're trying to make a decision about. You know, maybe people who've got experience of making similar decisions, who've made good decisions, who know about the pros and cons. Why not do some reading and studying? Get advice from books. Read your Bible and pray. All these things are good ways of seeking advice. The most important thing there, of course, is to pray and seek advice from God. But sometimes God will give his direction through the counsel of others. Sometimes he'll direct us to a good book on the subject, or an encouraging or warning Bible verse, or something like that. Sometimes he'll speak through friends. Sometimes he'll speak through people in our church community. Sometimes he'll speak through people in positions of authority. He might speak through a lot of different channels. But it's up to us to know where to go sometimes and know who we can get good advice from. In some way or other, even when we don't realize it, God will guide us. But don't listen to bad advice and don't try to go it alone. Because if you want God's best for you, you need to listen to good counsel. And finally, I've got a third point to make, which is know your limitations. The power to judge and lead the course of our lives is with God and God only. It's not even like we work together with God on this one. God leads. Sometimes he might seem frustratingly or even painfully absent, but he isn't really. He's right there, calling, leading, guiding us. And on this one, we've got six proverbs from Proverbs chapter 16. First, verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So yes, make all the plans you want and act on them. You know, God actually even calls us to do just that. But we need to remember that the final word remains with God. God has the word of power. Next, Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. You see, it's rather difficult for us to assess the positives and negatives of our own courses of action. Sometimes we really don't understand the implications of what we're doing. Other times we don't know ourselves, but God does. He knows us far more deeply than we know ourselves. And that's because he's our creator who loved us into existence. We're limited in our knowledge of his course for our lives, but he sees everything. Because it's easy for us on our own to be deluded. You know, we need to be assessing ourselves against scripture, against his words. And we need to pray. We need to be actively listening to God. Prayerfully reading scripture is always a good thing to be doing. Then third, Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. You see, whatever plans we have, we need to remember that they'll only prosper if the Lord is in them. You know, if you're doing something at the moment that you feel kind of uncomfortable about, that you know you're trying to hide from the Lord, it probably means that you're not following his way. Stop hiding from him and give him the power of veto over your plans. Remember, he has the power of veto, whether you give it to him or not. And while that might stop us doing something we want to do, we should be reassured that that thing that we wanted to do was probably bad for us anyway. That's why God stopped us from doing it. Sometimes the greatest curse is to be allowed to do whatever we want. On the plus side, if we understand that it's God who establishes our plans, not us, then that should stop us from fretting about our effectiveness or our purity or things like that. You know, the things that we blame when things go wrong. You know, when we say, I wasn't cut out to do that, or I messed up because I sinned. Well, you know, actually, God has control over what happens and whether our plans are effective or not. It's not like we can kind of somehow destroy God's plans in our lives by being weak. You know, God has the power over us. God uses us, but God is able to sort of use us despite ourselves sometimes. God has control over what happens and whether our plans are effective or not. Actually, God can use us even when we're pretty wretched. So we don't need to fret about stuff. Just trust him and entrust our plans into his hands, that he would do whatever he wishes with them. Let's keep making plans and acting on them, but know that he has the rightful power of veto. Then in Proverbs 16, verse 4, we read that the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. You see, the Lord is sovereign over everything that happens in the universe. He even rules over evil and evildoers, leading them towards justice and defeating evil. We don't need to worry. Even when he doesn't seem to be there, he has everything under control. Yeah, it's a bit like sort of Gandalf, I suppose, in Lord of the Rings, although Sauron the Dark Lord seems like he's not under control. There comes a day when he's defeated. Then in Proverbs 16, verse 9, we read, The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. This is something of a repeat of what's already been said. You know, it's up to us to use our God-given thinking capacity to glorify the Lord in our plans and action. But it's up to God how those plans work out, how they're realized, and whether they're effective or not. So we need to give everything into his hands. The steps that God establishes are the courses of our lives. Sometimes it can be complicated and we go the wrong way. But even at those times, God establishes our steps and he leads us on our way. And he's sovereign over all that happens on that way. So to quote Shakespeare, Hamlet, that there is a divinity that shapes our ends, rough-hew them how we will. So there you go. And then finally, Proverbs 16, verse 33, we have this rather curious statement that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. You see, in the ancient world, lots were often cast in order to determine a course of action. It's something that's gone out of fashion as a method of making decisions in government these days. You know, we don't see the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, casting lots to decide whether or not to, which coronavirus rules to introduce, but in the ancient world, that's probably how they would have done things. But sometimes we do use chance as a way of determining a course of action. You see, however, what this proverb is really saying is that although there is plenty that goes on in our lives that looks like chance, in reality there's no such thing as chance, because every decision is from the Lord. We can trust him. He's our Father in heaven, our Creator, and he knows what's best for us. He doesn't determine the course of our lives according to a random number generator. He has control over us. He loved us into being. He knows us deeply, intimately, and he won't let our feet stumble or fall. So don't try to decide everything yourself and forget God in the process. Instead, know your limitations and give everything into God's hands, because he's sovereign over your life, the course of your life, and all the things that happen along the way, whatever things may look like at times. So, to sum up, three things. First of all, live with integrity. Give up on double-mindedness and ask God for help with this today. Because it's only in the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us that you and I can live with integrity. Second, listen to good counsel, not to bad counsel. Or in fact, any counsel that distracts you from God's calling on your life. Most of all, listen to God. Ask him to direct you today as to which voices you should listen to. And third, know your limitations. That God is in final control of our lives and knows what he's doing, even when he seems to be leaving us to get on with stuff. You see, God's reliable, and he is our Father in heaven who's given us, each of us, a unique identity and calling. If we trust him, he'll lead us through to a place where that identity and calling are fully revealed in eternity with him, in bringing joy and building his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us. So sometimes it can be so difficult to follow in the way that you have called us to walk. Sometimes we can even kind of lose track of what that way is, Lord. But we pray that you would help us today. Help us, Lord. Help each person here to know your calling on their life, Lord. To know where you are leading them to go, what you are leading them to do. And Lord, I pray that you would surround each person with the right advisors, with the right words, with the right wisdom to know which course to take, which course you are calling us down. And Lord, help us to know the truth of the gospel. Help us to know that however wretched we may be, it's not really important, because we've placed our trust in you. We've placed our trust in you, and you can lead us to a place where we are actually restored. Our integrity is restored. We are restored as the people you've called us to be, where we are people who live according to the image that you've placed in us of you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to cast our eyes onto eternity with you. Help us to look forward to that space of that place of joy and blessing that is eternity with you. Help us to strive towards that, to run the race towards that, and to know how you are leading us, where you are leading us, and not get distracted. In your name we pray. Amen.